This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We love taking around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and we are sitting here in the very plush new studios at the Victorian Pride Centre, where I'm very happily joined by Shannon.
Hey.
And good evening, Stefan.
Hey, good evening.
Having moved into Australia's first purpose-built Pride Centre, it's almost impossible to imagine a mob of protesters attacking and ransacking the central hub of Victoria's LGBT community. Yet that is exactly what has happened in Bulgaria. The twist is that the violent mob was led by one of the presidential candidates in the Bulgarian elections currently underway.
The Bilitis Foundation, Bulgaria's oldest LGBT organisation, manages the Rainbow Hub community. They posted photos of the destruction on social media. Lily Dragova is their executive director, and we spoke to her about the attack, its aftermath, and what it means for LGBTIQ people in Bulgaria. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
She was hit in the face by the presidential candidate because she tried to stop them from storming into the place. She's physically all right. She and everybody else who attended the meeting are quite shocked and scared and all of those feelings that you could imagine.
On October 30th, the Rainbow Hope Center in Sofia, Bulgaria, Bulgaria's capital, was torn by 10 men. They were led by well-known far-right leader and presidential candidate Bojan Rasetat. A meeting of the trans community was underway. They entered the building, vandalizing the space, smashing equipment and furniture, and assaulting anyone who got in their way. The images shared on social media look like a cyclone has hit the building. It was meant to be a safe space for the LGBTQ community. Lily Dragova has been the executive director at the Bilitis Foundation since 2017. We ask Lily what happened at the Rainbow Hub community in Sofia.
Now, Lily, thank you so much for your time. Could you tell us what happened at the Rainbow Hub Community Center in Sofia last week?
Thank you for reaching out. On Saturday evening, we had a community gathering of the trans community, and the event was publicly announced so that people who are interested could join. And obviously the address and the timing were publicly announced. Around 30 minutes after the beginning of the event, someone knocked on the door. One of the participants jumped in quickly to open because they were excited that more people were coming in to join the meeting. My colleague Gloria Filippova, who is an employee of the Bilitis Foundation, went after them to open the door and to make sure that everything is fine. But until she reached the door, the participant had already opened, and a mob of around 10 people was storming in the Rainbow Hub. The community center is located on the first floor, so we know that happened afterwards is that the mob actually sent a single person, a woman, to knock on the door so that when the participant looked through the people, so just one woman, and that's why without second doubt opened the door, and then the mob of the people were actually hiding on the stairs and just stormed into the place. Tried to stop them, started screaming, "No, you cannot enter." And what happened was that actually the leader of the attack said you can't tell me no.
Has anything like this happened before?
Not from of this scale, no. We had a series of attacks on our events during the Pride season this year, because we are also co-organizer of Sofia Pride. So in May and June this year, we saw an unprecedented series of attacks on many of the events that were accompanying the Sofia Pride program. But they were mainly groups of people attending very big public events like movie screenings or book readings, etc., trying to create tension, but not smashing the place or putting homophobic stickers on the door of our community center, but never in this scale.
Do you know who's behind the attack?
Well, we still don't know. Okay. I can't say. My assumption is that it was a Bulgarian group led by a presidential candidate. Actually, we have elections coming up on November 14th, both for parliament and president. So the person who led the attack is well known to the public of Bulgaria. He's the leader of the so-called far-right nationalistic group, Bulgarian National Union. His name is Bojan Rasate. Because of our legislation and how it works here, he, as a presidential candidate, has immunity. So he did that exactly 2 weeks before the elections while he had immunity. The group that he led was of supporters and participants in this Bulgarian National Union. So my assumption is that it was an entirely their act.
It is quite surprising that a presidential candidate would be having such an action, really. I mean, what's the stance of other presidential candidates on LGBTIQ rights? Because clearly this one doesn't support them.
He in particular is famous here for being xenophobic, racist, and just performing all kinds of discrimination and violence, really, towards different marginalized and vulnerable groups throughout the years. He has over 20 charges of different acts. So he's basically a criminal. And he is very marginalized in the public sphere because of his former behavior as well. So what he did by this was trying to gain attention, because he's not among the famous strong candidates. So with this, he actually gained more publicity in the public sphere. The sad thing is that generally, the Bulgarian politicians do not have a stance on LGBTI rights whatsoever. They try to stay away from the topic because they say and think it's still controversial in the Bulgarian public life. And so them being supportive or sharing thoughts in favor or sharing statements in favor of LGBTI people would lose their popularity and lose the votes. So generally, they stay away from the topic. And this applies to every political party from the spectrum, from the Greens to the Social Democrats to the Liberals, the center rights to the far rights. Obviously, they're the only ones who actually speak up publicly. But as you can imagine, they are trying to mislead, to spread false narratives, to basically repeat over and over again that narrative that LGBTI people are a threat to the Bulgarian society, that they're going to impose the values of the Western Europe and the US, which are values of degrading traditions, of corrupting children, pedophilia, and all those narratives that are on the rise in many countries in recent years.
That's Lily Dragova from the Bilitis Foundation in Bulgaria with us on Joy 94.9. this was a premeditated attack, intentionally violent, intentionally aiming to disrupt the centre. Just the fact that they, you know, they sent the single woman to the door to knock so that, you know, they would actually be let in and they could go on their rampage. It's just horrendous, really.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder how you would let other people in the future. Like, they've done it that way deliberately, right? Like, they had the one person show up so that they would feel safe to let that person in.
Mm.
So you do wonder, like, in the future, how they would then feel able to trust other people coming to the door, even if, you know, saying they need help or whatever.
Now, it was led by a far-right political leader who is running for the presidential elections, which are on in the next week. Obviously a publicity stunt, obviously to try and generate publicity and get support for his election. But he has immunity, Stefan?
Yeah, what? Apparently within 2 weeks of the presidential election, any candidate is given immunity from persecution. But I think...
For anything?
Well, I don't know if it's for anything because I was reading about it and it looks like he's been charged with something. I'm not quite sure what, but... So it's all a bit odd, but I mean, Lily off microphone was telling me that the immunity and all this, so that's the reason why it was done at that time as well, within 2 weeks of the election.
Gosh, don't give any politicians here that idea. Will be a law change pushed through straight away. And look, this guy's obviously he's a serial offender. He's not only done this sort of stuff before, he's been charged before. You know, he's just not going to go away, him and his supporters. But the fact that they've, you know, got resorted to violence like this is still just, quite shocking.
Yes, it's just, you don't imagine somebody running for office like this or to be a president to do that. It's clearly it's signs of things to come if they were elected or to get elected, but yes, it's...
And obviously, you know, you talked about them having the reason that it was 2 weeks before because of the immunity. But yeah, I mean, I guess you especially don't think of this happening 2 weeks before an election. Usually this sort of stuff happens afterwards.
Yeah.
Lily mentioned there that politicians avoid having a stance on LGBT rights. Well, coming up, we discover how much public and political support there is for the actions of this right-wing politician and his thugs. This is World Wide Wave.
Turn us on and we'll turn it out. Joy.
Hi everyone, my name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to World Wide Wave. Lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
As we are talking about the attack on the Pride Centre in Bulgaria, and we are broadcasting from our new studios at the Pride Centre here in Melbourne, we were wondering what, you know, we were trying to fathom at the start of the show what that would be like if somebody sort of came and knocked on your door and charged in and started tearing the place apart. Mm. So putting the call out to you, if you've been to the Pride Centre, what do you think? If you haven't, what are you looking forward to? What does Australia's first purpose-built Pride Centre mean to you?
The attack on the Rainbow Hub Centre in the Bulgarian capital of Sofia was devastating. Led by a right-wing presidential hopeful, the centre was left badly damaged, a staff member assaulted, and the local LGBT community shaken. The shocking attack has been condemned by the European Union Members of Parliament, human rights activists, and most importantly, Bulgaria's leading political parties. Along with a pending presidential election, the attack came just 4 days after an anti-trans ruling by the Bulgarian Constitutional Court that defined gender only in its biological sense. It paints a picture of daily life for LGBT people in Bulgaria. We spoke to Lily Dragova, who's the executive director of Bulgaria's oldest LGBT organisation, the Bilitis Foundation.
What is the situation for LGBTIQ people in Bulgaria?
Legally, the situation is pretty bad. Again, because of this invisibility that we have had with politicians historically, we don't have any legislation providing safety and security for LGBTI people whatsoever. There is just a single document that says something about it, and this is the Anti-Discrimination Act, which includes sexual orientation as a protected ground. But this act was amended in 2004 as a condition for Bulgaria to enter the European Union. This was just one of the former requirements. And so the box was ticked, and then nothing changed and evolved ever since. So legally, we still lack hate crime and hate speech legislation. We lack recognition of rainbow families. We lack legal gender recognition for trans non-binary people. Everything, like anything that you could imagine that LGBTI people should be granted and to receive proper equality, to achieve equality with the rest of the community, here we lack. So this is a major issue. And this also is connected to the fact that the public attitudes are still quite negative. Big portion of the society, between 50% and 60%, when we do our research, claim that they are not accepting LGBTI people, neither as neighbors nor as their children, or as politicians and public figures. So the stigma around LGBTI is very strong here, and the traditionalistic approach here in the Balkans is very current these days.
So you mentioned that the government ticked the box to enter the EU. So has the EU put any pressure on the Bulgarian government to change things?
Not really. The way the European Union works in the field of social work is very mellow. So they have had and are keep on having different recommendations to align our law with the European law, including the protection of certain rights to LGBTI people, condemning homophobic incidents such as this one and previous ones, sending out letters, inviting, suggesting, and all of those words that you could put there, but they are in no way obligatory to our governments, so they keep on recommending the improvement of the situation of LGBTI people, but our governments are not forced to do so. So they just choose not to answer and pretend that this never happened. We are very hopeful that with this current situation, things will be different because of the scale of what happens. Yeah. This really is beyond our biggest expectations of what our opponents would do. We would assume that they could have a debate with us on a theoretical level or disagree with us, but to storm in and smash our office and hit my colleague in the face is definitely something that we didn't expect. So we hope that the pressure coming now from our partner ambassadors here, there were 11 ambassadors who issued a joint statement condemning the attack and demanding justice, fair process, including the Australian ambassador to Bulgaria. We also have now the political candidates and political parties, some of them issued statements on their social media condemning the attack as well. So this is a breakthrough, I'd say. I think that everybody's really shocked. And so even the politicians who generally stay away from the topic couldn't pass it by and issued their statement. So now we're trying to follow up and make sure that this will be turned into actions, not just words.
Is your colleague that was hurt recovering okay?
Yes, she is. She wasn't seriously hurt. She was hit in the face by the presidential candidate because she tried to stop them from storming into the place. She's physically all right. She and everybody else who attended the meeting are quite shocked and scared and all of those feelings that you could imagine. And we as a community are. all of us, because this is, that's the thing with hate crimes. It's not only the crime towards a particular person or a group of people that were the direct victims. It is a message sent out to the entire community. So we all are pretty shaken here still, and it will take a while until we recover.
You mentioned that there were some difficulties from the general public to accept LGBTIQ people. What's behind that? What's the main driver of the stigma and the lack of acceptance?
We've been discussing this a lot, because it is also important for us to know, so that we can work with this and try to answer the core root. And we think it's just fear, as simple as that. The majority of people here have no idea of LGBTI people, LGBTI rights. They don't know LGBTI people because of all of this, lack of legislation, lack of acceptance, bullying at school, anything. People from the community are generally hesitant to come out publicly and to be, you know, out and proud. So many people of Bulgaria don't know that they know actually people belonging to the community, because they are afraid to come out. And so this topic is still very unheard of and not well known. So people are afraid of the unknown. And because of the general way of thinking here in the Balkans, it's very traditional and very machist, and centered around the role of the man as the provider of the family and the woman as the housewife and mother of the children. So this is still very, very much alive, and this adds to the lack of understanding and acceptance of LGBTI people. And of course, in recent years, all over the world, the spread of the anti-gender movement and the anti-gender narratives has been on the rise. And there are groups which are specifically investing efforts, money, and time in many places around the world to create those false narratives about LGBTI people and to attack basically human rights, democracy, women's rights, children's rights, all of this. So they are very active in Bulgaria since 2018, when they created a very strong debate around the ratification of a convention from the Council of Europe that is tackling gender-based violence and violence against women. It is famous by the name Istanbul Convention. So when this document was supposed to be ratified here, those groups got activated and they created tension at the society, making people believe that if the document is ratified, then same-sex marriages will be introduced automatically, that trans people from other countries will flood the country and request asylum based on their identity, and this will drain social benefit system, and so on and so forth. So they really managed to play with the fear, that same fear of the unknown of the people. And eventually this really was a tipping point and changed everything for the public narrative. And many other things unfolded after. So it is a combination of where we are as a society, what our belief system is, and how evolved we are, and these forces from the outside, which are trying to make best of use of the situation to their benefits. And the sad result is that the victim of all of this are the LGBTI community, and we still cannot make that needed progress on all topics.
From Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria, that's Lily Dragova from the Bilitis Foundation with us on Joy 94.9. We've often spoken on this show about the European Union and the positives of, you know, the requirements around equality that you need to address in order to be accepted into the EU. But we're learning a little bit that that's not quite as it seems.
It seems to be a little bit of a tick box exercise. You've met the threshold, you're in. And then if you go below the threshold again, what happens?
There doesn't seem to be any consequence. Is it that there's no way out? You could, once you're in, you could go rogue and then you stay?
Well, I mean, we're seeing that in Poland, right? Like a while ago, they prevented you for a very, very long time. They had the things that they needed to get into the EU when that was required. Mm. And now we see so many bad things happening in Poland for the LGBT community. But they're in the EU.
Yeah, I think they can cut subsidies, they could cut grants and things like this, but I don't think there's anything else.
They can influence, but they can't. Yeah. Direct. Mm. Coming up on Joy 94.9, we hear about the work that is being done to support the LGBT community in Bulgaria. This is Worldwide Wave.
Check out Joy podcasts, where you want them, when you want them. Joy.org.au or your favourite platform.
I'm Stefan from Taiwan. You're listening to Worldwide Wave.
You're listening to the show that takes you around the globe, one queer story at a time, Worldwide Wave. And a special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcasts automatically, either at joy.org.au/worldwide wave, or on iTunes, or really any of your favourite podcast platforms. And please don't forget to leave us a review.
I went to a house party on the weekend, and they already had their Christmas tree up.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
No.
They're too early, too early. Yes. Kind of, it's getting here. It's time to start thinking about Christmas. And one group that is already thinking about Christmas is the Melbourne Rainbow Band, who have their carols by Queer Light returning, real, in the flesh.
I can do that activity. Now. Yeah. That's in a snap opening.
Yeah, yeah. And
dance side by side strangers.
Toe tapping your feet away to their great music. It's a bit of an institution here in Melbourne. Saturday the 11th of December is the date. St Kilda Town Hall from 7 p.m. You'll need to get in quick because there'll be all the COVID restrictions and numbers and whatever. So go to mrb.org.au, Melbourne Rainbow Band.org.au to grab your tickets.
Joy 94.9.
We are in Bulgaria tonight, where there has been a violent and unprovoked attack on their Rainbow Hub Centre in the capital of Sofia. Led by a presidential hopeful, many believe it was a publicity stunt from the far-right political party. Lily Dragova is the executive director at the Bilitis Foundation, Bulgaria's longest-running LGBT organisation. Lily, explain more about their work in Bulgaria.
The Bilitis Foundation was founded in 2004. What does the foundation offer LGBTIQ people?
Yes, we are the oldest active LGBT organization in Bulgaria. So we've been involved in many activities throughout the years. In recent years, to the last 2-3 years, we have focused on several main things. First and foremost, we work with the LGBTI community, community organizing, providing training, providing opportunities for growth and empowerment of different subgroups within the community is something we are very focused on. We facilitate for self-support groups for LGBTI youth, for trans and intersex people, for queer women, and for bi and pansexual people. So those groups meet regularly and they create their own advocacy campaigns, which we support, etc. So the community element within the capital and throughout the country, organizing meetings, this is a main activity of ours. We also do a lot of research and issue analysis and reports because the Bulgarian state does not collect any data on LGBTI. So to inform our advocacy efforts and to know what is the actual state of play of the situation, we have conducted various research on different topics and came up with either training and guidebooks or just reports and analysis, policy briefs, policy recommendations, etc. We also work on different topics from hate crimes and hate speech and trying to include them in our criminal code, to banning intersex surgeries for children, healthcare and all of the aspects of providing healthcare, bullying at school. We actually have an online platform that provides free of charge psychological support to everyone who has been a victim of bullying at school. It's many things. We also are very active on the international scene, trying to build networks and alliances with partners, with institutions, because of that important push that we can have from the international community on our national government. So we have close contacts with many partners who are supporting us in our efforts. We have sports events. I mean, we are basically covering all fields, and this is because we cannot afford the luxury to only focus on one, two, or three things, because everything needs to be improved and changed. So we try to use our capacity on all fields. Of course, we're a co-organizer of Sofia Pride, the biggest human rights event in the country, since its second edition in 2009. This year we had 10,000 people marching on the streets in Sofia, which is exceptional for us, keeping in mind that the first Sofia Pride in 2008 was viciously attacked, actually by many people, but by this presidential candidate in particular as well, who's been arrested back then for being aggressive towards the people. So it's been 150 people marching, actually not marching, they were running because they were thrown stones and cocktails Molotov at in 2008. And now this year we had 10,000 people and it was peaceful, and there is a great development still, and still many things to be done.
It sounds like you're really doing a fantastic job for LGBTIQ community in Bulgaria. If we want to, how can we find out more about you, about the group, the foundation, and how can we support you from so far away?
We are updating and actually launching our English version of our website, bilitis.org, just in a few days or weeks. So information will be available there, but obviously social media is our main channel. Following on the situation in Bulgaria is very important for us, and we really appreciate when partners and people across the world pay attention to what's happening and get engaged. Currently, there is a petition running that we have shared on our social media, demanding fair process and justice for the perpetrators, and also the amendments to the criminal code so that legislation actually provides safety for LGBTI people. So signing the petition, sharing online, this is something that is very helpful. And we cannot pass the financial side. Donations and financial support of any kind is also most welcome for the restoration. We managed to secure funding so far because people have been so generous over the last 3 days. But we keep on collecting funds for our ongoing work and activities as we want to expand what we do at the Rainbow Hub, which we operate jointly with the Glass Foundation, our partners. So all of that is much appreciated. And just raising awareness and being in the loop of what's happening is important.
And we've shared all your social media details on our Facebook site. Lily Dragova, Executive Director of Bilitis Foundation in Sofia, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
You can see there how important a centre like this is. what Lily was saying, they don't have the luxury to focus on one to three things. It's like, you know, all the different groups and an immense number of groups here at the Pride Centre, but that's all in one, and they're trying to do everything and make all sorts of changes. That would be it's such a huge job.
It is a huge job, and they do need the support we can, especially when you know, when she talked about the attitude of the people. So there's still a lot of things to change the society and the way LGBTIQ people are viewed.
And it'll be a real process of change. You know, I don't think she has any illusions that it's going to be a quick process. So
no, it won't be easy. It won't be quick. I mean, but when you look at how far they've gone, you know, the first Pride where they were attacked and they were running.
With I think you called cocktails. It the Pride Run, didn't they?
Yeah. Yes. So it's just and now to have with 120 people, and now to have tens of thousands of people and peaceful as much as they can, because she said that they were targeted again this year, but more peaceful and not having to run.
And it is that it's that different types of pride that are around the world. You know, Sydney is a big celebration, a big party. This is really a traditional march that is all about visibility and influencing minds, so that there are, you know, that there are changes that are made. She mentioned earlier on too, the invisibility with politicians. So they really have. Politicians have no appetite to support or reject or...
But I think this attack might have changed that. And I think that's really the fact that some candidate actually spoke out against it, and that 10 or 12 ambassador in Sofia wrote a joint letter. I think that's... And I think she'd mentioned that she thinks it will have changed things for LGBTIQ people. So even though it's a vicious and premeditated attack, some good might come out of it.
I suppose it's that progress, right, that makes you then able to kind of take on the next thing.
Mm. That would be wonderful if it did lead to some very positive changes, so that this far-right leader would, you know, in trying to get his publicity, he may have actually harmed his cause. That would be blissful to watch. And indeed, we will keep watching from afar, and you can see images of what happened there on our Facebook page, which is World Wide Wave, or the shortcut W3Joy.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ludwig Mohamed Zahid. I'm a gay imam speaking from France on World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
A huge thank you to our guest tonight, Lily Dragovaf, the Executive Director of the Bilitis Foundation in Bulgaria. Find out about their good work at bilitis.org or on all the social media channels.
And thank you very much for the messages on Facebook, Rex, Hoffler, Dwayne, Claire, if more that have joined and or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy.
And thank you to those behind the scenes, our podcaster Peter and our social media master Dean.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.